Our sermon text this morning comes from Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 21. This is the text that's in the narrative lectionary. And a brief refresher on what the narrative lectionary is. The narrative lectionary is a schedule of scripture readings during the year, particularly from September through the end of May, through Pentecost. And it's the text that the preacher preaches on for that particular Sunday. And it's meant to give us an overall scope of the Bible. So that's why we begin with the Old Testament in the fall. And now that it's winter, we're exploring one of the four Gospels. And this year, we are journeying with the Gospel of Mark. And then after Easter, we will have lessons from the Acts of the Apostle and also from the letters of Paul. And so in each church around the country and indeed around the world that are using the narrative lectionary, they're hearing the same text in worship that we're about to hear. But it's still the job of each preacher to prepare his or her own sermon, and it's still the job of each congregation to discern how this particular story of Jesus connects with our church's life here and now. And so this is Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 21. Last week, Jesus and the disciples were in the land of the Gerasenes in Gentile territory. And in between last week and this week, they have sailed back through the Sea of Galilee to the other side, to the side that is predominantly Jewish. And Jesus is teaching, and there's a large crowd gathering around him. So this is Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 21. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly,
"My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live."
So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said,
"If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well."
Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said,
"Who touched my clothes?"
And his disciples said to him,
"See the crowd pressing on you. How can you say you touched me?"
He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her,
"Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease."
While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say,
"Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?"
But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue,
"Do not fear, only believe."
He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them,
"Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping."
And they all laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her,
"Talitha kum,"
which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately, the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel writer Mark has a certain storytelling technique. He will begin to tell one story. And before he finishes that story, he interrupts that story with another story and tells that story. And then he gets back to the first story. The technical term for this is called intercalation. The less technical term is called sandwich. If you ever hear a biblical scholar talk about a Markan sandwich, that's what they mean. The gospel writer's more storytelling technique of switching back and forth between stories. And the purpose of that technique is to allow us to see the connections between the stories, to see both the similarities and the stark differences. And so we see many things when these two stories are brought next to each other. 12 years, for instance. The little girl is 12 years old, and this woman has had a chronic illness the entire time the little girl has been alive. As the daughter of the synagogue leader, the little girl is part of a prominent family in the community. And the woman at one time may have been from a prominent family. It sounds like she has spent a fortune on doctors through the years, on the phone with the insurance company for hours at a time, trying to find someone that will help her, perhaps even traveling to see other people who are rumored to be faith healers. We can only imagine all that she did. And even with all of those efforts, she didn't get better, but she only got worse. And so if she did have means, she's apparently spent all of it. We also see how they were ritually unclean. Dead bodies were ritually unclean. Having a menstrual cycle was considered ritually unclean because men made the rules, more than likely. And this doesn't mean morally unclean or sinful. It just means unclean ritually, so that you couldn't be in that state to enter the temple or to do worship. But nonetheless, if you were in a perpetual state of ritual uncleanliness, it would be extremely isolating. And then finally, for me, what the most touching connection is that both are called daughter. The little girl is the daughter of the synagogue leader. Jesus says very tenderly, "Little girl, get up." And the woman who came up to Jesus and simply touched his cloak, Jesus called her daughter. And our own stories intersect, do they not? Our stories of faith, our own stories of illness and how we overcame that illness or haven't yet overcome that illness. Through the years as a pastor, I've heard many stories. I've heard stories of unexplained healing. One time, the wife of a retired pastor came to me and shared her story, and she said, "We went to the doctor and they were convinced that I had stage 4 melanoma. And then later, I went back and they said that there was no sign of disease." And she was not the type of person to like stand up in the sanctuary and yell out, "I've been healed." But nonetheless, this was her story. One day she had metastatic melanoma, and then later, no sign of disease. And many of us share stories about modern day healers, doctors and nurses taking care of us and helping to bring us back to health. And it need not be supernatural, but we can see God moving through these modern day healers to help restore us to health. And we also have other stories, stories that are harder. Stories of praying for the friend with a metastatic cancer who dies anyway. Stories of praying for a chronic illness to go away. Someone who has a wound or a sore that doesn't heal for years. And through much prayer and every possible resource they can think of, they aren't yet cured. And so our stories connect. We can see both the similarities and the differences. And as different as these stories are, there is a way to connect to each other. Recently, the rabbi Sharon Brous wrote an op-ed in the New York Times. And she writes, "In a world of pain, there is some tireless wisdom that can help us through the worst moments. Show up, even if you are brokenhearted, or in mourning, or lonely, or sick, or otherwise feel like you are breaking apart. Do not take your broken heart and go home. Don't isolate. Step toward those whom you know will hold you tenderly. And on your good days, the days when you can breathe, show up then too. Because the very fact of seeing those who are walking against the current, people who can barely hold on, and asking with an open heart, 'Tell me about your sorrow,' may be the deepest affirmation of our humanity, even in terribly inhumane times." And here's the end of that quote. But I love what she said because it's a reminder that we can always take this time to share our stories with honesty, with authenticity. There is something that is true about this woman who touched Jesus that is not mentioned of any other character in the gospel. And that is that she told him the whole truth. Out of all of the characters in the gospel, she is the only one to sit before Jesus and tell him the entire truth of her life in a single setting. And nonetheless, I really do believe that the more that we can share our stories with each other, that we will find a place where all of our stories intersect. The novelist Reynolds Price wrote a memoir called A Whole New Life, and it was about his journey with spinal cancer, his own medical odyssey. And he received the lifetime maximum of radiation in a very short period of time, and it saved his life, but also rendered him a paraplegic. For the rest of his life, he was confined to a wheelchair. For the rest of his life, if you asked him to describe his pain on a scale of 1 to 10, it was never below a 6. And yet he wrote about the gifts of all that and his even increased sense of productivity as being a writer and a teacher. And he described this marvelous vision that he had. It was a dream, in fact. And in the dream, he was walking alongside the Sea of Galilee, where the disciples themselves had first met Jesus. And Jesus came up to Reynolds, took some water, poured it over his head, and said, "Your sins are forgiven." And then Jesus turned to walk away. And then Reynolds shouted as loud as he could, "But am I healed?" And Jesus very gently turned around and said, "That too." And for the rest of his life, Reynolds pondered that and pondered all the ways in which he had, in fact, been healed. And he shared that story with others. I don't pretend to understand the mysteries of healing, but I do believe by faith that Jesus touches us. Jesus touches us when we reach out like this woman with the hemorrhage. And Jesus touches us when we are essentially dead and people are praying for us. And the more we share our stories with each other, the more we will realize that all of our stories connect at that very moment when Jesus touches us and calls us a beloved child. All glory and praise be to our God. Amen.